Welcome to the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast. On this podcast, you'll hear stories to encourage, inspire, and empower you to be the best healthcare advocate that you can be for yourself or for a loved one. The information provided in this podcast is not to be used for any medical advice. This is for information only and to support you in your journey. Please consult with your physician and medical team. In fact, share your favorite episode with your team and ask questions from that.
Welcome to the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast. Today on the podcast, we are speaking with Lauren Barr. She's a physical therapist and a health coach and a friend. And I'm just so very excited to have Lauren on with us today. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you, Christine. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. So what were you going to talk? Oh, excuse me. I got ahead of myself. Why don't you first tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure, of course. So as you know, I'm a mom. I have two young kids and I have a great husband. And like you said, I'm a physical therapist. That's been my role for 17 years now as a physical therapist, a mom for 11 years. Yeah. And that's me. That's a lot of me. I also, other things about me, I really enjoy nature. I enjoy being physically active. You know, I played a lot of sports as a kid. And I always was fascinated with the human body and with its potential to heal. So I was one of those kids that I was actually really lucky that I learned about physical therapy at a career day in seventh grade. And it was one of those light bulb aha moments. Yes, this is what I want to do. This is the path I want to pursue. And everything fell into place, got into a great PT school. And at age 23, I was in the clinics seeing my own patients. So that was pretty awesome.
Wow. Not everybody is as lucky or fortunate as you were to have that insight at such a young age. But I think that makes a difference when you have that passion within you. Those are the therapists that I feel are making the biggest impact out there. And you definitely have. I mean, you have your own book.
Yes. So I'll probably talk about that in a little bit because that will tie into my healthcare advocacy story.
Wonderful. Yes, for sure. So, regarding healthcare advocacy, what topic did you want to address today?
Well, I was going to share my own experience of being a patient in the healthcare system and how I overcame my health challenges that I went through. I'll take you back to 2014, and I call it my health crash. So that was 5 years ago now, and my kids were little. They were 2 and 5, and I was busy, like most moms. I was going to work my physical therapy job, and I would come home from work, and I called it my second shift. That's when I would take care of the kids and get dinner to the table, get them ready for bed, and then repeat the next day. Mm-hmm. So I was just on this treadmill, go, 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 go. And I started having some health symptoms creep in, and I tried to just brush them aside because I was busy. I didn't have time to take care of me. Are you kidding me? It was things like fatigue and body aches and sore throats, and then some anxiety. And anxiety wasn't brand new to me. I did have anxiety postpartum with both my kids, but it started coming back. So I did go to my doctor with some of these strange health symptoms like I was describing, and my doctor said, okay, well, let's run some blood work. Well, the blood work came back normal. So she said, oh, you're fine. Just go, keep working, keep doing your thing, you're fine. But I knew that I wasn't fine because I was tired and tired but wired, and having, like I said, the body aches and these fevers of unknown origin. So I remember going back to her a second time saying, hey, I'm still having these symptoms, and still there was nothing she could find. And then the anxiety got really bad, and there was a perfect storm of things happening in my personal life. My child was having some health challenges, and that was becoming, you know, more stressful. And then there were some other stressors happening. So this mild anxiety became moderate, became severe, and I was having trouble sleeping. So now add insomnia to the list of already feeling horrible, and things just started to snowball. So I went back to my doctor, and she said, oh, wow, okay. Yeah, you're struggling. And being the fact that you had postpartum anxiety twice, and now this anxiety is coming back, I want to put you on an antidepressant medication, and you're going to have to be on it the rest of your life. And that terrified me. So I wasn't ready to sign up for that for the rest of my life. So what she did was she gave me some anti-anxiety medication. And she said, here, you know, take these will help you sleep. Okay. I did what I was told. Sure. It helped me get some sleep. But I would wake up with that same terrible anxiety. So I went back to see her 2 weeks later. And at that point, she put me on medical leave because I was barely holding it together. You know, I was just exhausted and anxious and insomnia. So when I went on medical leave, it was one of the most terrifying experiences of my life because I had always been this high achiever, an athlete, a great student, a physical therapist, and helping so many people. And suddenly, I was at the bottom of this well, feeling terrified and broken and scared and lonely. And I didn't know what my future held. And the interesting thing is, I think I had been in that go, go, go mode for so many years that when I finally rested, my body just crashed and became so weak so fast. Like, I don't even know how it happened, but I just remember, like, I could barely get out of bed. And when I tried to go for a walk, I could walk for maybe 5 minutes. And then my ankles and my body was just weak and shaking. So my endurance was 5 minutes. So as you can imagine, I had to get help. My friends helped drive my kids to school and daycare. My husband had to step up and do all the cooking and the cleaning and the childcare because I was so weak. So the scary thing was when I spoke to the doctor, you know, she said, oh, well, you're just going to have anxiety and depression for the rest of your life. You know, I don't really know. She didn't give me a lot of hope. Let's put it that way. She didn't paint a very nice picture of what my future was going to look like. And I didn't want to be, you know, on the sofa the rest of my life. So at that point, I did start seeing a therapist, and that was really helpful. I'm a big fan. But I will admit, I was scared to even go to therapy because I thought that, you know, the people who go to therapy must be like, there's really something wrong. And at this point, now looking back, it was such a blessing to be able to go to therapy as much as I did, as regularly and for as long as I did. It was such a blessing. And I started to recognize that because each time I went, I did feel a little bit lighter. I felt heard. I felt a little bit more empowered. I felt a little more hopeful. So it did become a very positive experience. But I knew that in my healthcare experience, you know, in all the patients that I had seen in my career to that point, I started to ask myself who got better and who stayed in a state of chronic illness. And I started to do a lot of reflection as to what do I need to do to get better? Because I don't know if I can get better, but I don't want to be disabled and on disability the rest of my life. So that's when I started to, you know, take my knowledge and my healthcare experience and then also listen to my intuition. And I put together what I call my personal prescription. That personal prescription included, yes, going to the therapist. I did a daily meditation. I had never done meditation before, but a friend of mine gave me this little recording of a meditation. So I did that every day. I took a few key supplements that I had learned about, and I did 5 minutes of barefoot yoga in my yard because I just knew that it felt good. So I just started trying things, and the things that felt good, I put them on a list, and each day, you know, my kids were at school, my husband was at work, and I devoted myself to healing myself through nutrition and self-care. Day after day, each day passed, and when I got to that 3-month mark, I was strong enough to go back to the physical therapy clinic. And that felt really like a huge relief, but I knew I wasn't all the way healed. So I continued to really follow that prescription that I wrote for myself. And by the end of a year, I felt like me again. And that's when I decided that this information was too good to not share. And I knew I had to find a way to share it with other people because I was starting to do more of my own research. And I was learning that the majority of the chronic health conditions that we face as a nation really have to do with poor nutrition and poor lifestyle choices. And why weren't we talking about that? And if some of the solutions are that simple of improving your nutrition and prioritizing your sleep and your self-care, well, I needed to find a way to share it. And of course, I stumbled across this thing called health coaching, and it was one of those, my next light bulb moment. And that's when I went to school for health coaching. And so that was in 2016 that I went to health coaching school.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff to go through in a very short amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a humongous transformation. I can definitely, I'm sure many people listening can attest to that feeling of go, go, go. Like you don't get a time to stop and think of what all these symptoms are adding up to, or, oh, this is just old age, or, oh, I just had 2 babies, so this is just what it's going to be. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, yeah. you really made a commitment to yourself to continue to go back to your physician, not just once, not twice, but I think I counted at least 4 appointments in there. To keep saying and advocating for yourself, even at that point, like, this is not okay. Do you know if she was going to put you on benzodiazepines?
Yeah, she did.
Uh-huh. Wow. You know, if you would have made that choice, that could be, your life would be very different right now, I would imagine.
Well, she did put me on benzodiazepines.
Oh.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. Do you know much about them?
Yeah.
Yeah. They are very difficult to taper from. And I really didn't have any informed consent going into that situation. It was just, here's your medication. And went after just probably 2 or 3 weeks of taking a tiny dose, it became very difficult to stop. Mm-hmm. I wanted to stop taking them, but then I got this rebound anxiety that was so intense that I'd end up in the emergency room, mm-hmm. only for them to give me more benzodiazepines.
Right.
It was a very scary situation. And then I was able to work with the psychiatrist who they then assigned me to. And I told her, I need to get off these. Like, I don't like this. And she designed a taper plan for me over 3 weeks to taper off of them. And it's interesting because I've had some further training now, professional training in anxiety. And I trained with Trudy Scott, the author of the Anxiety Food Solution book. And she hosts a lot of anxiety summits. And anyways, I did some professional training with her. And she told me that I was very lucky to get off of them as quickly as I did, because some people, it can take years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. There's I mean, among hearing it in the news, just recently on CNN, they did an episode on the effects of benzodiazepines and just incredible how impactful negatively it is on the life of the patient. And scary how doctors, even though they're prescribing them, don't really have a full understanding, unless some psychiatrists would, but the primary care physicians don't really have an understanding how potent that medication is and what it can do when you do try. So I hope if anybody is taking those as a prescription provided by your doctor, please work with your doctor. Do not go off of those cold turkey. That is not the way to go, even though you desperately want to get off of them.
It has to be a long, slow taper with a medical professional, with a psychiatrist. Yes, but it is possible. I am completely medication free, and my anxiety symptoms that were so intense. I mean, obviously, like I said, after 3 months, I was well enough to go back to work. After a year, I felt like me. But now that it's been several years of me healing myself through functional nutrition and self-care, my anxiety is very minimal. You know, most of the time I don't feel any anxiety at all, but there are some situations where it does, you know, there are moments that I haven't. But I do consider myself basically recovered from anxiety, and that was certainly never told to me that that was possible.
Right. Yes. And I think, you know, nothing against your doctor, but she probably just, she didn't have that information. That wasn't a tool that was in her toolbox. And I think that's really the case, unfortunately, for no matter what healthcare professional you're talking with. Just because one person can't help you doesn't mean that there isn't help for you to heal. And so I'm really happy that you kept at it and recognized that there was a different path for you. Let's see.
And I wanted to share.
Go ahead.
There was something else that I feel like was a big key to my success was, as a physical therapist, we don't have any formal training in nutrition, but I did, you know, go through a phase of watching a lot of TED Talks. And one of the TED Talks I saw prior to me ever getting sick was a TED Talk called Minding Your Mitochondria by Dr. Terry Walls. And she shares her recovery story from secondary progressive MS, multiple sclerosis. She was in a wheelchair for 4 years, despite the best medications and the best doctors. And then she decided to dive into the research on her own and realized that her, you know, in a progressive neurological disease like she had, the mitochondria were really suffering. And she asked herself and dove into the research to try to figure out, well, what nutrients or what can I do to help my mitochondria start to repair and heal, work better. And she put together a modified paleo diet and was able to heal and put this MS into remission. And I just remembered that TED Talk when I was at my lowest point. I thought, wow, if Terry Walls could heal herself from her MS, I'm going to use those principles. And I also had read a book called Grain Brain by Dr. Perlmutter, and he's a neurologist, and he talks a lot about gluten and gluten intolerance and how that relates to depression and a whole host of neurologic diseases. And so I tapped into my memory of reading his book, and he had used the term brainflammation and pointed out that when people have anxiety and depression, oftentimes they have brain inflammation. So again, I put the pieces together in my own journey and thought, wow, I probably have some brain inflammation, and what dietary changes can I make to lower this brain inflammation? And so part of that personal prescription was gluten-free and dairy-free and low sugar diet. And I'm really lucky that I had come across those right pieces of information before I needed them.
Absolutely. Yeah, going back to what you're talking about the mitochondria. So if you're not familiar, people listening, what the mitochondria does, it's really the powerhouse of our cells, of every single one of our cells. And so when we're thinking about any sort of disease process, you can definitely address the symptoms one at a time. And that's one way to address a problem. Or we could look at kind of this more root cause or global reason why we're having these dysfunctions. And for somebody to, you know, go down to the cellular level, you know, thinking about it now makes a lot of sense, but that was not what was common practice when she or any of those, Dr. Hyman, Dr. Perlmutter, you know, started to talk about healing from chronic disease. So it's definitely a different way of looking and managing chronic disease, but I personally think it is a better long-term solution than just treating symptom by symptom.
That's a great point, and I agree with you 100%.
Great. And fantastic that you had that background knowledge. What would you tell somebody who doesn't have that medical knowledge or that the ability to listen to what their body needs, that intuition? How would you help somebody, a family member or a friend, going through something similar?
Well, first, I always like to remind people that their body is designed to heal. Like, your body is far more capable of healing than you've been led to believe. And I usually remind you, you know, look, every cut you've ever had has healed. If you've had a broken bone, that's healed. Every cold, every flu, you've healed. And so you've always bounced back, and it wasn't the medication in any of those situations or a cast for a broken bone that healed you. Your body does its own healing. And so, you know, to remind people of that. And I do think everybody has intuition, to varying degrees. I think it's a spectrum, right? And as you start to listen to it, you can get better and better and better at listening to those signals from your body. So yeah, I think, you know, the first piece is I always encourage people, and, you know, my biggest thing is I wanted to pay it forward. I wanted to share all this information. So like you mentioned earlier, I did write a book. And so my book is available to anyone who wants to read more about my journey, more about what I bring to the table as in my health coaching practice and how I'm helping other women heal from anxiety, chronic pain, and put their autoimmune conditions into remission. And a big key to that healing is a mindset shift, like you were saying, is we can't keep running around looking for the next pill or procedure to fix us. Yes, there are situations where you need those, but when it's a chronic health condition or something like I went through with anxiety and depression and fatigue, I couldn't look for a pill to fix me. There was, you know, I could have taken an antidepressant the rest of my life, but if it actually fixed me, why would I have to keep taking it, right? They don't fix you. Not to say they're wrong, but they don't, you know. So again, that deep healing it comes from within, and there's not one right path. There's so many paths to take to get right there. But certainly you and I are on the same page that functional nutrition creates a foundation for that healing to happen.
Correct. Yeah, that's a really good point that there's more than one way to get to your answer. And I absolutely agree with you about, you know, your body does want to heal. Our bodies want to be in homeostasis. You know, of course, what the environment that we're in plays a role. I mean, you can just, and I think what you said about like a cut, like that's really visually easy for someone to understand. Something that's happening within your body is not necessarily, as, you know, right there in front of your face. My father was a 80-pack year smoker, and you know, I didn't get a chance to see inside of his lungs, but I can imagine that his lungs were not very good at the time of his death. And but I don't think that didn't matter to him. But I bet if his lungs were on the outside of his body, I bet that perhaps might have been a different situation to see what is happening inside. That all the symptoms that he had didn't make a difference, because you can see it, but you can't see those chronic diseases happening necessarily from the inside.
Right.
But nonetheless,
yeah. And with most chronic health conditions, as you and I know, but the listeners may or may not know, is the underlying root cause of chronic health conditions is chronic systemic inflammation. So again, we know what inflammation is. If you sprain your ankle and it swells up, you know that that's inflammation, and that is a normal response in that situation, and it stimulates the healing response. Mm-hmm. But when you have a chronic low-grade inflammation throughout the body and maybe also in the brain, you can't see that. Mm-hmm. But that inflammation is the root cause of, you know, for one person, their headaches. Mm-hmm. Another person, their eczema. Another person, you know, their weight gain. Mm-hmm. Another person, their anxiety. But it comes back to that chronic systemic inflammation, which most of that, well, a large portion is driven by diet and lifestyle choices.
Right. Yes. And obviously, if somebody has a predisposition to have an autoimmune disease or to have some sort of disease genetically, whether you're predisposed to have hypothyroidism or multiple sclerosis, but we need to have that right environment that kind of triggers that. So it takes both things. It takes the genetic component plus our lifestyle choices. But even if you are someone who does have a chronic disease and remission or complete reversing it doesn't seem possible, we can still heal and help build up our reserves so that if something does happen, it doesn't knock us down quite as far. And all the same principles that you're talking about, healthy nutrition, sleep, self-care, all those components that were on your personal prescription are vital to helping every one of us be at our optimal health, whatever that is.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I think it's very amazing that you were able to put all of this together for yourself. I mean, obviously you did have a healthcare team, but I hear a lot of self-initiated and you initiating the dialogue with your healthcare team. And do you have anything that you would like to see differently in the healthcare system today?
Yeah, well, having had all the years of experience working in the healthcare system, I see a lot of flaws, and you know, that sounds negative, but honestly, it's the truth. Visits are very short. There's not always a relationship that you're developing with your provider. And maybe, you know, some of us, our values don't really even align with the treatment plans of our providers. So what I do want to point out is that our modern healthcare system, Western medicine, it has some areas where it really shines. And I'd like to recognize that, you know, it really shines if you have an acute infection or a fracture or there's been some trauma. That's where our healthcare system is rock solid. It saves lives. It's fantastic for acute care. But for the chronic health conditions and like what I was going through and some of the things that we've talked about today, our healthcare system is looking at your symptoms and is looking to suppress a symptom with a pill. And like you and I are saying, is we like this root cause approach. So my suggestion, if what I think is missing, is root cause medicine. But that being said, I think there's a big challenge in taking a system that has been around for many, many years and changing it. Mm-hmm. So there's a quote that I wanted to share that I've heard a few times over the years. It's a Buckminster Fuller quote. And it says, "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change things, build a new model that makes the old model obsolete." So when I hear that quote, I think about functional medicine. Functional medicine and functional nutrition are a root cause approach to reversing chronic health conditions. So it doesn't, like I said, we don't need to get rid of the acute care Western medicine model, but I'm so excited to see this whole movement of functional medicine and functional nutrition just expanding and growing in popularity, and more people are becoming aware of it, you know, thanks to some of the big leaders like Dr. Mark Hyman and Dr. Perlmutter and Dr. Terry Walls. They're really getting the word out there. And then, of course, you know, one of our mentors, Dr. Joe Tata, is really educating a lot of healthcare providers in the area of functional nutrition. So that gives me a lot of hope for treating chronic health conditions.
I think that's a good approach because, well, one, it just provides alternatives. And I think providing education to our patients, our family members, and helping them see the value in this and making their own decisions. Like, nobody wants to be told what to do.
Yeah.
Nobody, I don't like to be told what to do, but being able to kind of judge for myself is what I've got going on working. And if it's not, you know, you could do two things. You could either say, well, this is the way it is, I don't have an ability to change this. Or you could take the approach, like you said, for yourself, well, I don't want to live this way. Who do I know got better and what did they do? Being curious about your own health, whether it's physical health or psychological health. I understand that we have different roles and we have different practitioners who treat our brains and who treat our psychological state and who treat our bones. But I would like to just put it out there that we really are one person. And we really, even though we do want those specialists, especially in those acute settings when I need to have emergency surgery on something, yes, I want the best trained person there. But when I'm looking at these symptoms that don't really add up to something at the onset, all these kind of diffuse little things, I really want someone who can take that bigger picture. I don't want a provider who's going to say, oh, that's your brain. No, that's neurology. Oh, wait, that's hormones. That's the endocrinologist. Sorry, I don't deal with that. When we aren't body systems, we're systems that work together. We aren't these little body parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of specialists out there. And like you said, if you have 10 symptoms and you see 10 different doctors, you might end up on 10 medications. Versus if you saw a health coach, you know, and that's what I do now in my business, is I do health coaching. And I can look at all those symptoms that might seem unrelated, but they might be related because it might have to do with chronic systemic inflammation. Mm-hmm. And if we, you know, like you said, you don't want to be told what to do. Well, when I'm working with my health coaching clients, I'm their guide on the side. I'm their encourager, their cheerleader, but I'm there to ask them, what are you ready to do? Mm-hmm. What would you like to do? And some people are ready to make the dietary changes, and I can educate them about an anti-inflammatory diet, and they can go as fast or as slow into the process as they want to. And we talk about sleep and optimizing their sleep. And as you make these small hinges, one of the analogies I use is a small hinge swings a large door. Mm. So these small incremental changes in nutrition and sleep and maybe deep breathing or meditation or getting more walking or adding more joy, these little tiny changes, whoa, all of a sudden start to swing a large door. And it's amazing the changes I'm seeing, people's acid reflux going away, their eczema going away, their joint pain resolving, their, you know, weight just shedding with ease.
Yes.
You know, their chronic migraines disappearing, putting their autoimmune conditions into remission. I mean, it's exciting stuff. So yeah. It's not just my story anymore. It's like, I'm witnessing this in my real life clients, and it's really exciting.
Absolutely. To share that journey, not only to share your story, but to be able to guide other people through that healing process. And you had mentioned earlier, you know, that everybody has kind of that spectrum of intuition. And I just like to say that intuition is one of the 10 senses that I recognize that we have. And the other sense that you're talking about kind of is this interoception about how we feel from the inside. And so we all have these senses. And, you know, just even thinking about like foods that you don't like the taste, your sense of taste, like not everybody likes the same foods. You might like foods that are spicier than I do. But if I did want to challenge myself or start to broaden or be more receptive to different tastes, I would have to practice that. Mm-hmm. I would have to actually experience that sensory, you know, challenge myself a little bit at a time. And so that our ability to handle different sensory experiences can be worked on, can be addressed. And it takes practice, and it takes that kind of just right practice. And a health coach can definitely be a great guide for you. And you work alongside the doctors too. It's not like you aren't a medical doctor, so you're not treating that way, but like you said, all for the 20 minute appointments that you get with your doctor, you don't get to ask a lot of questions or create that really personal experience. Maybe you're not even seeing the same doctor every time. When you have a health coach, you can have that relationship. You can really build upon your knowledge and then bridge that gap between what the physician is saying and really taking that into your lifestyle and into your day-to-day life. And that's, I don't know, I think all doctors should want to assign health coaches to their patients.
Yeah, I think we will start seeing more and more health coaches in the healthcare system at some point. I mean, for right now, I haven't seen it, but I am seeing it actually in the functional medicine system, mm-hmm. where the health coaches are partnering with the functional medicine doctors. So that is happening a little bit, which is really exciting. Yeah.
Absolutely. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up or share with the audience today?
No, I think that's great.
Great. No, it was a good discussion. And you mentioned some stuff about your self-care as far as, are you still doing your 5 minutes of barefoot yoga?
I do frequently. It's not every single day anymore, but yeah. Probably 3 or 4 days a week at least.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy. I just take my shoes off and I'll be either in the front yard or the backyard while the kids are playing and do my 5 minutes of yoga.
That's great. I mean, it doesn't have to be following somebody else's routine. Yes, there are lots of videos and classes that you can take, but yoga, you know, is not as much about the exercises. It's more about like understanding where you are right now, what does this feel like in your body, taking those deep breaths. So even if you are in a yoga class, just being very mindful about what your body is doing and what are you experiencing in that moment. So take full advantage of that time that you're spending with whatever exercise you're doing, or if you are someone who does meditation or you know, some silent sitting, maybe you prefer to do some journaling. Is there any other self-care actions that you're taking right now, Lauren, that you're really feeling are working for you?
Well, always nutrition and sleep are the foundation for me. You know, mm-hmm. if I keep my nutrition to that anti-inflammatory diet, which is low in sugar, you know, lots of vegetables, protein, gluten-free grains, I feel really good. And then the other thing is prioritizing sleep. I really am a person who needs 8 hours of sleep every night. Mm-hmm. So I prioritize those two things. That is the foundation. But beyond that, I try to move my body every day. You know, it's not necessarily, you know, a run with sweating. Like, yes, I try to do that a couple times a week, but most days it's rollerblading with my kids or taking a walk on my lunch break, those kinds of things. But I do try to move my body every day.
Yes. That's great. Yeah. I think, I don't know why I've never thought of nutrition as self-care. That's interesting that I've not, but I think it's so true.
Yes. I think it's the most sacred act of self-care, actually.
So thinking about that just briefly, I mean, food is everywhere. And we have so much access, especially in the United States, to food or food products. And now we may not have, depending on where you live, access to fresh fruits and vegetables, or you may not have easy access to quality foods. But, you know, it actually is important what you're putting in your body day in and day out. It is not just the calories that sustain you, that the food has so much more to it than just calories to keep you alive. Do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, Dr. Mark Hyman says food is information. And it really is information for each of your cells. And that's where we're getting all of our vitamins and our minerals. And that's the building block of our new cells. And we have a completely new epidermis of our skin every 30 days. The cells that line our gut are brand new, all of them, every 4 days. We have a brand new skeleton every 10 years. So our body is in a constant state of renewal. Do we want to renew our body with fast food that is devoid of nutrients? Or do we want to replace our cellular structure with nutrient dense foods? And, you know, I know what my choice is, but also for me, I just know that when I eat well, my brain works and my body works. So for me, there's such a link to food and mood. Mm-hmm. And once you make that connection and it becomes really clear, you can't go back, because I don't like feeling like garbage. You know, I want to function at a high level so that I can enjoy the work that I do and enjoy being with my kids and active. So it's not even about willpower anymore. You know, I see, you know, cupcakes at work yesterday. It didn't even speak to me because I know I would get brain fog and fatigue, mm-hmm. and anxiety if I ate that.
Right.
So I've just learned over time, little by little, is, you know, I prepare my own foods. I keep it pretty simple. I take food every time I leave the house. It's just become our lifestyle and it's doable. And I help people make incremental changes and find a way of eating that is sustainable and feels good to them. It's not about deprivation. It's really about empowering yourself to find a way of eating that feels good.
That's great. Yeah, I agree with that. And food is more than just nutrition. You just mentioned that it's not about being deprived. So you definitely still want to have that social connection. You still want to have all of that around your food. And you can. You know, I had another guest on, you know, Annette. She had people say something like, what do you even eat then? You must feel so horrible that you can't eat any food. She's like, what are you talking about? I can eat so many different kinds of foods, so many wonderful foods. And just yeah. flipping that perspective around, instead of like, oh, I can't eat this, I can't eat that. But being able to identify all the wonderful foods that you are able to eat. And maybe you've never tried some of those foods before. And maybe there is a learning curve on how you can prepare that. But that's why there's people like Lauren who can help guide you through that, and really help you one step at a time. I love that hinge analogy, because that is so true. We don't have to overhaul our entire lifestyle all at once. In fact, I would recommend you don't do it all at once. It's very overwhelming. But one small change can lead to another. Well, it was a pleasure to have you on today, Lauren. Thank you so much for sharing your journey and your story. A very strong and courageous person you are for being able to move through that.
Thank you, Christine. I'm happy to share.
Great. Well, if you are interested in learning more about Lauren and what she does or picking up her book, all the information will be in the show notes. And hope that you have a great rest of your day.
Hey there, it's Christine from the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast. Would you like to be featured on this podcast and share your healthcare advocacy story? Then sign up on the Sign Up Genius link under the description of this podcast, and we'll talk soon.